so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
Welcome back to the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
And we welcome all of you to the 3 o'clock hour. Let's update a couple of things real quickly. Minnesota and Vancouver in the NHL scoreless about midway through the second period. In the NBA, Sacramento has won in double digits against New Orleans. Sacramento is getting better, and New Orleans looks like a big old question mark right now. Nobody can quite figure out what's going on with them. The final in that game, 140 to 125, and in baseball, Minnesota leads at Pittsburgh 5-3. They're in the top of the eighth inning at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Let's say hello. Oh, wait a minute. That's the deadline bell. What do we got?
It's 3 p.m. and no Vic Beasley.
Terry, haven't heard anything?
Not a word. Not a word.
This is not a good sign. Okay, let's check in with our buddy Danny Evans for his weekly visit. Danny,
well, there is some. Alan Bell of 24/7 Sports says that Vic Beasley has not opted out because obviously the deadline has expired, and so there you go.
Terry, real quick before y'all get into that though, does that mean that the $6 million signing bonus that would count towards the salary cap of this year since he has not opted out?
I believe that is correct.
So would that negate everything that Derrick Henry, the restructuring for this early year, that pretty much brings them back to their normal total, which they had with the contract, with the franchise tender, correct?
I would think so. I mean, I don't know if most people had already been counting that money on the contract or not because he hadn't shown up, so he was kind of in limbo. So I don't know if that money, the $6 million signing bonus, the $2 million roster bonus, I don't know if that money, honestly, had already been counted on the cap or if that money could have come off, giving them more cap space had he opted out.
Just less money for Clowney.
Yeah.
Could be. Let's say hello to Danny Evans. And Danny, how are you?
George, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good, but I'll say this. My heart went out to you earlier this week when I saw the whole Field of Dreams thing for this year kind of go up in smoke. Tell us kind of how all that came down, and in the end, could this be a blessing in disguise?
Well, George, I appreciate it. You know, the one thing, you know, the disappointment is not playing the game, but candidly with the issues revolving around the Cardinals players and staff and positive testing being up in Iowa and the inability to really keep guys safe in the middle of a really difficult period for the Cardinals, I get it, and I supported it. And for me, the biggest thing, and I don't mean to sound, I hate to use the word corny when it comes to the Field of Dreams, but, you know, the well-being of the players and the staff and the workers are priority number one for me and has been for all 40 years of my career. And I had some concerns, but really the biggest concern I had, when we figured out this game about 16, 17 months ago, it was really tailored to the fan experience, the fans in the stands and the fans in the main square in Dyersville, Iowa, population about 4,100, George, and just a wonderful town that has had 30-plus years of the Field of Dreams, and we had some amazing things set up. Nobody was going to get to do any of that. There was going to be no fans. There would be no fans in the square, and the more that went on, the more I started to realize this wasn't what we envisioned. And in 2021, we have a really good chance of getting it done. So the good thing is the stadium's built, the field's done. I was just there a week ago. It was amazing. And frankly, the disappointment is only for the moment because we'll still get to play the game with people in the ballpark and people experiencing it, which, you know, frankly, I think is a much better experience for everyone.
Yeah. Danny, where we are right now, the Marlins, who, by the way, look really improved, whether anybody's noticing or not, they're now back to playing. St. Louis will be back to playing tomorrow night. Is the feeling kind of in MLB that the worst is over, or is it a feeling that every day God only knows what?
I don't think any of us really know what to think about the COVID situation anymore. It's spiraling out of control in some states. But I think in baseball, the vacuum of baseball, it's a real positive right now. I mean, they've been able to get their arms around the whole situation. I mean, we talked about this, you and I, over, I think it was over the weekend, in a text exchange. I think it was actually a blessing for the game to go through the Marlins experience and then the Cardinals, because I think for a lot of people, it was a real, I would say, serious moment where the season was in jeopardy. I think Girardi had a great quote saying he doesn't even allow people on the elevator with him anymore because he feels he owes it to his players, his staff, and the fans. And I've just heard an overall sense of compliance and urgency that just wasn't there, George, a week to 10 days ago. And I think as a result, we've got a better chance of getting through this period. I can tell you over the weekend, I had a lot of people telling me, well, we're done. We're not going to play. And I just kept saying, no, I actually think this is going to be a good thing because I think everybody's taking it serious. And plus, George, I'm sure you read that Major League Baseball really tightened the screws a little bit more. They have a compliance person in every team now traveling with the club and tightened the screws on all the protocols. And I think some of the stuff that went on, I think other players were calling each other out on Twitter, on social media,
oh, yeah,
saying, hey, and I think it's great. I think it's great that they recognize that's going on. But I think now it seems as though we have it figured out, at least the current mode. And I think the game in the field is going to be more of the focus.
I know there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that led to whatever went on here. Yeah. But Yoenis Cespedes' method for leaving the Mets, I thought, was complete horse manure.
Yeah, and it's not just focused on COVID. Just in any situation with your employer, I mean, you have to communicate. He's had a very weird, I would say, unsettling time with the Mets for whatever reason. Put the Mets in a very difficult position. I mean, he left without telling anybody. I don't know how many of you listeners would be able to do that, but I've had quite a few employers who might not have taken that too kindly. But I think what he really did was very selfish. Not going to his club and telling him, I understand the opt-out. I get it. And for whatever reason, I get that too. But I think when you leave your team the way they did and not give the team any notice, that's one or two days that you're playing shorthanded, and that's a really selfish move with your teammates. I just didn't like it. I thought it put the Mets in a really difficult position. And, you know, with COVID and with all the things going on, there's a lot of things a team can't say or do in today's world that, you know, they'd love to say, and they're saying in their offices. But, you know, until the guy tells him he's opted out, they didn't even know if he was with the club or not. So it's a real awkward position. I think, you know, the Mets have had a really difficult start. They've played a lot of good clubs in their first 13 games. They haven't scored very well, and, you know, they've had some issues with their pitching. But despite all that, they're not that far out, and they've got a really good chance of being a postseason club.
Okay, I got about 3 minutes before I have to go to a PGA update from Westwood One. So know that. Yeah, know that as I ask this.
Great pairing today, too.
Oh, I know it. I know. Kind of the dream team.
You think they'd let us in as the fourth? What do you think?
No.
No.
No, in fact,
on their part.
My own friends won't even let me in as a fourth.
Yeah, I think Rory would just say, take a snowman and move forward. Let's go.
I think he'd say, look, if you want a caddy, we'll consider it. So, you know how devastating an injury like what went on with Mike Soroka can be to an organization. In your mind, what is the Braves' next move here as they try to take an everyday lineup that's plenty good enough to go places, but a starting pitching group that really looked shaky?
Well, and shaky because of injuries and because of, you know, unfortunate situations. I think they've got one of the best general managers in the game. I worked with him personally. I love him. He single-handedly really just took our team in, I think it was 2015 in Toronto, and 8 games back at the deadline, and we made up the 8 games because of 6 trades. This is the right guy, George. He's an extraordinary personnel guy. I said to somebody this morning, a really good friend of mine, that when you're a personnel person with a club and you're one of the key decision makers, your job is not to isolate problems, it's to find solutions. And that's why you have the title, that's why you have the salary coming along with it. And the really good personnel guys recognize that these things will occur. You're going to have injuries. Despite everything that's gone on, George, and you know, certainly they, if it wasn't for Max Fried, they would be really struggling. They're 8-5. They're effectively in first place. They've got a 20-run differential in the positive, and I think they've got enough surplus in their organization that they could acquire a pitcher or two, or at least make it work with people within their organization. That's what Alex does as well, if not better, than just about any general manager in the game. So while I understand it's an unfortunate situation for the organization, he is not a guy, nor is Snitaker, to be, you know, just feeling sorry for themselves. This is when you find solutions to problems and you move forward. They got Markakis back. They have a couple injuries. A couple guys went on the injured list. But this is still a really good club. And, George, you know what? They have the advantage of having a bit of a chip on their shoulder and feeling that last year ended too quickly. And that is a wonderful way to pull through adversity, particularly in 2020.
Stop there. Great timing on this. When we come out of the break, Terry McCormick and Jack Gentry will ask the questions. The opening round of the PGA is underway out in San Francisco. I don't pretend to know a lot about that golf course, partly because I don't think they'd let me on. Here's Westwood One.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 102nd PGA Championship. First round ongoing from the Bay Area, and let's check the leaderboard, sponsored by Fidelity Wealth Management. Jason Day in the clubhouse with sole possession of the lead, a bogey-free 5-under-65. Day hasn't won a tournament in more than 2 years, but he felt confident entering the week.
There is definitely a lot of momentum coming in off the previous finishes that I've had. 3 top 10s, which has been nice. I feel like the game is slowly coming around. The confidence is coming around because I'm starting to see the results, which has been good.
So Day 5-under. Among those at 4-under, one back is Brooks Koepka, eyeing his third straight PGA Championship. Also, past major winners Zach Johnson, Martin Keimer, and Justin Rose. Tiger Woods with a push. Birdies in 3 of 4 holes on his back nine, but a bogey at 8 drops him back to 2-under, 3 back, 1 hole to go. World number one, Justin Thomas, 2 over after a double bogey at 7. A cypress tree swallowed his tee shot. I'm Ted Emrick, Westwood One Sports.
Oh, come on! 4! There it is.
In golf, the right adjustments can make all the difference. We feel the same way about financial planning. With Fidelity Wealth Management, your dedicated advisor will work with you to create a personalized plan for your full financial picture. And as your needs change, they'll help you make adjustments so you can stay on target. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC.
Indeed knows you've got big goals for your business. And we understand hiring is a crucial part of that. You need to hire people who will make a real impact. Indeed can help you find those important hires faster while paying only for what you need without any long-term contracts. Thanks to our super flexible payment options. Start finding your important hire today with a free $75 credit for your first job post and get in front of more quality candidates. Go to Indeed.com/high impact. That's Indeed.com/high impact. Terms and conditions apply.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham, Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on AdoptUSKids.org, a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Durham from Bart Durham Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Hey Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Saunier, executive producer of WNSR, and I'm here reminding you that Bongo Job at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the best place to start your day in the Music City. Their new limited summer hours and menu is simply the best in town. From burritos to smoothies, plus the new biscuit sandwiches and croissants, Bongo Java has you covered. Located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue downtown, they're open from 7 to 11 a.m., and make sure you tell them Crazy Charlie sent you.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Brad Keselowski dominated and took home the win from New Hampshire. Up next, a double shot of Michigan this coming weekend for the Cup Series. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, I'm Brad Keselowski, and I get my NASCAR news on The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at Facebook.com/TheFinalLap. It would make us smile. Every single weekday right here.
Follow George Plaster on Twitter at @GeorgePlasterTN. Now, back to the George Plaster Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
3:21 is the time. Our weekly visit with former Dodger general manager Danny Evans, who is on the line with us. Terry, the floor is yours. Do good.
Danny, how are you?
I'm doing well, Terry. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I know while you and I are doing well, it seems like there are a number of pitchers around the league that are not doing well in terms of their health. We saw it the very first week with Justin Verlander. Now it's gone to Soroka and Max Scherzer and Otani all on the shelf right now with injuries. Is this something that a lot of people feared with baseball having the long layoff, that a lot of these pitchers would come back and they might suffer injuries of some sort, even though some may be kind of flukish, and that this might be an issue in terms of pitchers going forward in this type of season?
Terry, I certainly thought there was going to be a problem. Normally in spring training, there's a dead arm period, some soreness, some missed starts, some dings about the third or fourth week of spring training. It's, just from experience, I can just tell you, it's not as alarming to a personnel person as it is to the fans in spring training, because you just know it's usually part of the overall offering. But What we have is such a unique situation this year. Guys were cranked up. They were deep into spring training. They were stretched out. And then they shut down. And the problem, Terry, is everybody had their own routine while they were shut down. Some guys were diligent. Some guys didn't have the same, ability to keep themselves in shape. Some guys just, you know, because of family concerns or just maybe logistics, didn't have the opportunity to keep themselves in the kind of shape they'd like. So I think what we're seeing right now, and it's not just here, it's happened in Korea and it's happened in Japan in 2020. After everybody ramped back up in those two countries, even for that matter in Taiwan, seemingly there's a larger amount of pitching injuries that aren't structural, that are more ligament-oriented, perhaps fatigue, perhaps overuse. Just about every starter, every reliever in spring training has some sort of an issue at some point, and nobody really overreacts to it because it's just kind of a given. The problem is we're in a race right now. We're not running the marathon we usually are running. And as a result, I think, you know, it's a heightened adventure with the injured list. And I think we're going to continue to see some guys. And it's not on them, Terry. It's just the quirky, unique nature of what we're doing and dealing with in 2020.
And then talk a little bit. Have you ever seen a guy get out of the gate in such circumstances like this as Aaron Judge? I can't believe how well that guy is swinging the bat right now.
Yeah, he's swinging the bat great. And the Yankees are playing really well, haven't played a team over 500 yet, so they've capitalized on the ineptitude of the teams they've been playing. I don't think that 9-2 record is a fluke. I think they're going to be an elite club. The Judge has just been amazing, and a couple of his home runs have just been gargantuan. But there's a lot of guys who are playing well. Here's the problem. We're 10 games in, and all of us are doing the same thing. We're reacting a little too much to the hot starts and really crushing the guys who are struggling. I mean, does anybody think Altuve is going to hit under 200? I don't think so. So I think what we've got is a 60-game season, and we're a fifth of the way through, and as a result, don't kid yourself. Pitchers and hitters that are struggling right now, they're struggling mentally, and they're struggling a lot. The big issue is for managers and coaches this season is keeping guys focused and not allowing them to go too far down the rabbit hole in a bad start.
We give you three teams that are actually off to a little better start than I think most people would have expected. And Tell me if you think any of them have any staying power with this expanded format. The Tigers, the Orioles, and the Marlins.
No.
Awful last year.
Yeah, I think that's three no's. I think those are fluke starts. And Miami is definitely improved, as George pointed out. They haven't played at home yet. Obviously, as we all know why. But I think that's just a fluke thing. I think the Tigers, just for some reason, have played a little bit better. The Tigers don't have enough talent to compete. I think 500 this time of the year for them is quite good. And I think the Orioles are gonna hit a wall very shortly, but they've played better. I know they've lost, I think, their last three or four in a row, and they haven't beaten anybody who's a good club, but they've played okay. You know, not as poorly as I anticipated. But this is what happens. I mean, teams every year have a fluky start. And the problem is you forget about it because you get 5 and 6 months into the season and it doesn't happen. I think one of the great stories of this year is the great start of the Twins, who are red, red hot. They're 10-2. They've played really well. And I think the other team that, you know, for me has candidly been a surprise is the Rockies, and I think they're playing way over their head, but I think they've gotten out to a good start, and I think the Cubs have played great, and I'm not surprised. I think David Ross is going to be one of the best managers in baseball, and I think we talked about that in one of our first shows this year. I think Ross was a perfect fit for a Cub team that needed a little kick, and David, I think, is as good as there's going to be in the game as a manager.
And one last one for me before I turn it over to Jack. Watched the Yankees and the Red Sox the other night, and they were talking how that the Red Sox, with all the bad luck that they've had, Chris Sale with the Tommy John surgery, losing Rodriguez to the COVID virus and the complications from that, and they were talking that the Red Sox might actually be a team that would want to be sellers and maybe move some veterans like J.D. Martinez or Jackie Bradley Jr. to a contender. Can you see something like that happening?
I can, and they made a bold move with Betts in the offseason. I do think, Terry, what we're going to see is we're going to see some teams make decisions like that as they get into deeper of August. And I think there's teams, perhaps Philadelphia, perhaps Washington. I can see the Rangers making moves like that. I could see the Tigers. I could see the Indians, for me, Toronto, Boston. I think the problem is with the deadline on the 31st, knowing that, the majority of teams are going to make the postseason. I know it's a bit of a PR nightmare, but with the loss of revenue and with the, I would say, exponential rush to the finish line, there's going to be some teams that are going to look in the mirror in mid-August and go, you know what, there's no way we can do this. And I think this might be the best year possible to do a salary dump, simply because you can explain it, you can justify it, and I think you're going to have a lot of people looking at you going, okay, I get it, but you better be competitive next year when we're playing full throttle.
Jack?
Hey, Danny, good to see you. Good to talk to you,
What's up, I guess. What's up, Jack?
Oh, not a lot. Same old, same old. Watching the Pirates about to lose their 11th game in 13 tries.
That's not going so well right now.
And that's kind of what I want to ask you is, with a start like this, the Pirates, not that they had any real hopes to begin the season, but now they're being crushed. Could you see them just spiraling even more? And I'm looking at the worst winning percentages in MLB history. I think they have a chance. Do you?
Well, I don't know about that. It's a little too early to figure that out. But they've played poorly against good teams, and they've played really poorly on the road. I don't think they have the talent level to compete. I know Ben really well, first-year GM with the Pirates, former GM of the Red Sox, and we worked together in Toronto. He's really, really good. He just doesn't have a lot of talent on his hands right now, and I think subsequently there is going to be a moment where they're going to make some decisions about moving some of their veteran players, but I don't see too many of their players having a whole lot of value. So this is one of those situations they really can't fix what's broken, and I think they could be one of the poorer teams in Major League history, but this is such a bizarre season. You can't compare being bad over 162 with being bad over 60 games. I mean, there's what Casey Stengel said once, I think he had a great line. He said, these guys are so bad, they don't know how bad they are. And, that's the 1961 or 62 Mets. And I think what we've got is we've got a real big problem with the Pirates. They're just not very good.
And another narrative, lazy as it may be around the MLB, is that some of the big bats in the Astros lineup are struggling. Well, they don't know what's coming this year. There's no trash cans being banged in the tunnels of Minute Maid Park. But I want to read you a couple batting averages. Jose Altuve, after last night's, down to 146. You see Bregman at 213. George Springer checks in at 195. Is there something to that narrative, maybe, that they went overboard last year with all of the cheating and what they knew what was coming, and now this year it's taking some time to reacclimate?
Well, those are three of the better players in the game. Springer's a free agent, so I'm sure he's pressing a little bit. It's real important for him to have a good platform season. Altuve, for me, is a potential Hall of Famer, one of the greatest fastball hitters I've ever seen, and Bregman's a stud. He's a dude. So I think what we're seeing is what happens when guys get off to bad starts. They press, they struggle, and when you don't have as many games to fix it, I think it's one thing. The other thing is that they're getting absolutely ridiculed by fans throughout the game that are saying things, they're reading things, they're hearing things. They want to prove that it wasn't as big an assistance as everybody thinks. But listen, it made a difference. And I think the problem is when you get out to a poor start in any year, you press, you struggle. This is a bad year for them to struggle. Now, those three guys, I'll take those three guys any day of the week. Those are three of the best players in the game. I think, you know, you're really not going to want to be the team when they start to heat up, because those three guys are as good as it is. But I think what we've got is a club with three of its nucleus struggling, and they're still only a game and a half out of first, and they're still a plus 10 run differential. So, you know, as bad as they've played, losing Verlander, look, and they lost Cole. Look where they are. Not so bad.
And another thing about this year that's different than previous is that hitters who struggle in the first half of the season kind of get to reset at the All-Star break and kind of come out in the second half of the season with a new mindset, and new approach. Well, they don't have that luxury this year.
You bet. And that's a big problem. And here's the big thing that happens with that. It's a bit of a mental break. It's really mental R&R for a lot of guys for 5 or 6 days, where they can just recalibrate, kind of clear their head, get their head away and their eyes away from the lights of the scoreboard telling them they're hitting .213. But the really good ones, the guys who have been through really difficult times of the season and have played at an elite level, they do figure it out. One of the problems, though, is we can't do a lot of video in-game. And I think what happens is you can't really Band-Aid a game set of plate appearances. You know, when a lot of guys would go in and after each at-bat, they'd watch the at-bat, they'd watch their mechanics. Hitters are really funky about their at-bats. Well, a lot of that stuff has been taken out of the equation because of the issues with the Astros, with the Red Sox. And now guys, you know, basically bleed for an entire game if they're struggling. Some hitting coaches are not available. There's just a different atmosphere. And as a result, I think you're going to see guys have more prolonged slumps. But I'll tell you what, those three guys, I'd put a lot of money on them figuring it out before the year is over.
Yeah, they're too good to hit under 200 for a full season.
Yeah.
You mentioned the August 31st trade deadline this year. Well, we're about 4 weeks away from it. And where the Braves stand right now, they just lost Soroka for the year. Cole Hamels doesn't seem to be close to coming back. The whole thing with Mike Foltynewicz is a mystery to all, but he's not big league ready right now. Could you see Alex Anthopoulos pulling some strings and maybe making a move for a pitcher closer to the deadline?
Sure. Or reaching down from below and taking some of their young arms who could come up and contribute. You know, one of the things we've got here is we've got a really good club with a lot of depth in their minor league system, but it's going to be hard to make trades for two reasons. Number one, you can't scout. There's no scouting going on at all, so no one really is seeing any of the people on the taxi squad or any of the people who are on the 60-man. Number two, because you're not scouting, the minor league players that you would ordinarily deal for, those are hard trades now because you haven't seen those guys since spring training back in March. And I think that suffocates a lot of the trade discussions. I think what you're going to see is teams like Atlanta assume salary and as a result be a more attractive part for a deal for a club in a difficult financial season. I think what you could do is if you're a team, you could say, hey, if they're willing to take on his whole salary, Let's think about this, because that's a real good move for us on the bottom line if we're not going to compete.
Okay, Danny, before we go to the break, is there a one person, a poster child of what you just said that you're thinking of with Atlanta?
Not offhand, George, but I'll think it through. It would probably be one of the teams who have some financial warts. And I'll take a look at some rosters and I'll throw some ideas at you.
Okay. Let's go to the break at 3:37. I've got two lines that are available. And I'd like for a baseball fan or two to jump in now at 844-5600. Again, 844-5600. We'll take some phone calls after the break. Real quickly, a word or two about my buddy Jody Jones and Jody Jones Dentistry. I'll aim this at some of you who are new to our area, or perhaps you're just simply dissatisfied with the dentistry that you're getting right now, do some real considering of Jody Jones, because I'll tell you what, he has a really good situation going right now. Beautiful new studio at 55 Music Square East, obviously in the Music Square area, Music Row area. It's beautiful. Man, it has got it all, and I have visited there before we started doing these commercials, and I came away saying, wow, the best of equipment. If you want to simply make an appointment, it's simple. 259-5100 is the number, or you can learn a little bit more. Go on his website, jodyjonesdds.com.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi. I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
Well, before I left my campsite, I was putting out my fire, and out of nowhere, Smokey Bear showed up and hugged me?
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. He likes it when people correctly put out their campfires. He's pretty big on wildfire prevention. He's just letting you know you did good. With a hug. He's a hugger.
I just got a bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update!
All right, I'm gonna let you go now. I've got a lot of ranger stuff to do. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Napa know-how.
This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676. Or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast. For this afternoon, mostly sunny and nice with a high near 88 with a north wind 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 65 with a north wind 5 to 10 miles an hour. And tomorrow, mostly sunny and beautiful again with a high around 88. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Download the WNSR app from your app store and take the George Blaster Show on the go from WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
3:43, we will get you a PGA update from Westwood One in about 3 minutes. Tony in Ashland City, I got about 2.5 minutes. Do your best.
Hey, George, and hello, guys. Danny, first of all, sorry about the Field of Dreams situation. I hate that for you. And but, Danny, you and I talked a couple of weeks ago about the Cubs situation. I know it's early. You just alluded to it a while ago. But it's nice to be 20% into the season. And we've all talked about how early it is to get this to start out fast. I think the Cubs have done that. I think David Ross has mixed the lineup. That's really putting Rizzo sometimes as leadoff has been fun to watch. They've got timely hitting. They've also got good pitching to go along. They're doing a lot of the good things, a lot of the things that you would need to see teams do in the early or, you know, in mid-season is what it looks like. With it being a 60-game schedule, do you think it's going to take about 45 to 50 games to secure a division title? And also, I want to give a shout-out to some of the Vanderbilt Vandy boys. They're really doing great. Dansby and Sonny Gray and some of the others and Tony Kemp. I know we're short, going to a break, but I'm going to let you answer those questions. Danny, it's good talking to you again, buddy. Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Tony, you know what? I think the Cubs are they have a good nucleus. They have a lot of experience. They have a couple of players like Baez and Contreras that are entering their peak seasons. They've gotten great starting pitching. Their bullpen has been struggling, but I've known David Ross since he was 20 years old, and David Ross for me is going to be one heck of a good manager, and I think he's flexible. He's played for five really great managers in his career, some of the best managers in the modern era, and I think that's going to rub off. I think it's going to take about 35 wins. I think 35 wins will be something that'll not only get you in, but has a chance to get you in a division title. That division has struggled so far in 2020. So you might not have to win as many games as you thought going in, but I think the Cubs are going to be a good club, and I think in a short season with a real shaky minor league system, they might be okay.
Danny, stop there. Perfect timing again. Let me update a couple of things. The Pirates rally with 2 in the 9th and win against Minnesota 6-5, the final. Vancouver now leads Minnesota 2-0 in the NHL, and we're headed to Westwood One to find out about the PGA.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 102nd PGA Championship. Hazy cloud cover from the morning in San Francisco has given way to sunshine and high winds in the afternoon, and John Rahm feels right at home.
Where I grew up in Spain is pretty much like this. Same weather year-round, so it's going to be pretty much like going back to Spain when I was growing up playing golf.
Rahm in a group with fellow Spaniard Sergio Garcia and Phil Mickelson. They tee off in 12 minutes. Let's check the leaderboard sponsored by Geico. Geico is now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com. Former world number one Jason Day fired a 5-under-65, the lowest first-round score of his career in a major. He is alone atop the leaderboard. A throng of players at 4-under, among them Brooks Koepka in the clubhouse with the 66. Hey, if it's a major, he's going to be near the top. Tiger Woods opens with a 2-under-68. Forget about the bulky back. He leads the field in driving distance. I'm Ted Emrick.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Every day, PGA coaches across the country are helping golfers reach their goals.
First time picking up a club? Let's get started.
16 holes still giving you nightmares? Let's conquer it.
Want to bring a friend along? Let's learn together.
Let's focus on health.
On fun.
On nothing at all.
Let's talk goals.
Let's try something new.
Let's keep it going.
Let's have some fun. Improve, connect, or escape. Wherever your golf journey is headed, let's get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Thanks to Westwood One for the update. Let's get one last phone call for Danny Evans. Nick down in Dixon, Tennessee, welcome.
Thank you, George. Danny, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Nick.
Good. So I kind of have two questions. The first one is what storyline in the MLB do you think is kind of being overlooked right now? You know, I know the Yankees are hot, talking about that, the Cubs, the Twins are hot, but is there a team, is there a story out there that you think is being overlooked, you think should be talked about a little bit more?
I don't think the Twins are getting enough credit. They're out to a terrific start, following up from a really good season last year, and I think they're a club that deserves more attention.
And then my other question, a little kind of far away from that, I'm a huge Reds fan, right? And obviously the start hasn't been amazing, but, you know, we've shown how great our starting pitching can be. We've hit the ball okay. Joey Votto looks like he's getting back almost into MVP shape. You know, outside of the bullpen woes, what do you think the Reds need to do to make that next step, start winning some games, and do you think that's doable? Do you see that happening this season?
I think the Reds are a sleeper team in 2020. I think they made some real strong moves during the offseason, added character guys, added some talent. You know, I know their start hasn't been just exemplary, but at 5-7, I don't look at them as a problem. I look at them as a team that's got a chance to be really good. I think they're going to be a team to contend for a playoff spot, and I think the Reds are on their way back to being one of the better teams in baseball.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Danny.
You got it. And, George, I looked up some pitchers. I got
give me a couple. Names.
Yeah, Marco Gonzalez, I'd say Edison Volquez, and I would say Rick Porcello.
Really?
Yeah, maybe Tehan from the Angels. I think their teams are going to have some tough decisions.
Of that group you named, Gonzalez the best? Well, Porcello probably, but are the Mets going to be willing to deal within the division?
Oh, yeah, I don't think you worry about that anymore. The second and third and fourth wild cards has changed that. I think one of the things, George, you know what? I have always been leery of adding guys who didn't play on a good club, who haven't been in the postseason. There's a lot of pressure put on a player when he's acquired to be the savior, to be the answer. So I only focus, if it were me, I would only focus on guys who have been there. So for me, Porcello, Waka, maybe Holland, Volquez, those are guys – Tehran, that those are guys that I would lean on. People like Gonzalez, who really haven't played when the lights get really bright, I would be very leery of those guys.
Danny, great stuff as always. Appreciate it.
How about go Preds and go Blackhawks?
Oh, it's needed. By the way, nice comeback last night. I stayed up and watched it.
I think I woke up my entire neighborhood with the tying and winning goal.
Oh.
So it's on me.
It was clutch. Hey, we'll talk next Thursday.
Thanks, George. See ya.
We will wrap this baby up, get an update from both Jack and Terry on the Vic Beasley situation that just gets weirder all the time. You're listening to WNSR.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on DeMumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French-pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet. The back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So, what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look. And I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her, and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
To former Tennessee Titans head coach Jeff Fisher.
Blood wouldn't pay to have a divider put up in the trailer to where we could divide up offense and defense. So we would send the offense next door. Oh, by the way, they shared a building with a pediatrician and a daycare. So
live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Call the George Plaster Show now at 844-5600.
356, and as we close up shop, Terry, what do you know on the Vic Beasley story?
Well, he didn't opt out, but he hadn't shown up yet either, so he is now officially on a milk carton as far as the Titans are concerned. I guess it's costing him $50,000 a day to not be there.
Although, let me ask you this. When you hear that thrown out there, have you truly ever seen a player have to pay the full fine?
Usually they don't. Usually that's not what happens. But I'd say Mr. Beasley is starting to test that theory and test the Titans' patience right now.
What do you think it, what do y'all think is going on here?
You want my personal opinion?
Yeah.
You know, there's rumors and reports that he's one of those guys that just maybe doesn't love football. And, you know, he's kind of always been said to be kind of moody and kind of a loner and just a different kind of guy. And who knows? Who knows what he's thinking and where he's at and whether he's going to show up?
Yeah, he's making Robinson and Vrabel look not as smart as they would like to. Robinson last week said that Beasley would be here in the near future. Well, we're 10 days in, and no one has a clue when Beasley's going to show up. Every single Titans fan and Titans reporter and Titans writer were staring at their phones for the last 30 minutes of the 2 o'clock hour. So it's a bad sign. I'm kind of leaning towards what Terry's thinking, and that he just might not want to play. He just might not. Maybe he's done with football. Maybe he ripped the Titans off, and he's going to get out of the game. I don't know, and I don't think anyone does.
Terry, in 30 seconds or less, what's the next move?
Well, I think they have to get an answer one way or the other from Vic Beasley, and then you got to decide if you have to move on without him. What do you want to do? And, Clowney is still out there, and I think that, that still has to be an option for them to consider.
Ooh, this is a soap opera.
Clowney's leverage is growing increasingly with every day that Vic Beasley doesn't show up.
If that's the route he wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're done. Finished for a Thursday afternoon. Johnny Ballpark Franks is in the on-deck circle. It looks like Vancouver is going to beat Minnesota. They're up 2-0 late. Johnny will give you all the finals as they come rolling in. See you tomorrow.